Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. It's Wednesday, November the 18th. Great to have you stop by for the program. I've got a chair for you right across from me here. We're going to talk about the, it's a variation, it's an alternate version of the gospel from this Sunday's Mass. If you remember a few days ago, and I didn't get to talk about it on this program. I talked about it on my weekly show, but it's really I think a good story for us. It's the parable of the talents. Today it's told by St. Luke as the parable of the coins. Slightly different, same concept. This is a message that Jesus delivered to his followers. And one that the church feels that is appropriate for us to hear at the end of the church year, because this is what happens. You know, we get to the end of the church year, and we hear more of these messages reminding us as the days in the liturgical or the church year are ticking down. The reminder for us from the church, actually from Jesus, presented by the church, is that our days are numbered as well. And, you know, you've heard me say this before. This is not a negative message. This is a call to action. This is a gut check, if you will, for us to look at our lives and try to determine what it is that we can do differently and what God expects of us. And I thought that today we'll look at this gospel and then I'm going to run down a list. If you call this a sort of an examination of conscience, if you will, and it's something that I'll be talking about Friday on Relevant Radio in my morning air segment. But I'll give you a little preview of it today. It's looking at the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and then looking at our lives, right, and determining what improvement we can make. Now, if I can't finish this all today, it'll spill into tomorrow's show. But this is good because as the church year winds to a close, and this Sunday is the final Sunday in ordinary time, next Sunday after this Sunday, so just a little over a week away, a week and a few days from now, we begin Advent, believe it or not. And Advent is the time of year when we prepare to welcome Jesus. And this is a serious thing. We're going to talk about this more during the Advent season. This is not just a sentimental look at the fact that Jesus was born. This is every year the church expects us to do something to get ready to welcome Jesus. And what we have to do is get rid of the junk sometimes and the clutter in our lives so that we can grow closer to him. And I think that this parable that we're going to look at today from Luke's gospel is a reminder for us that, well, we have limited time on earth. So now let's assess things, let's look at where we stand, and let's get ready during Advent to get ready. Prepare to prepare, if you will. And then you go into Advent, and then we go into Advent with a goal in mind. You know, which of these fruits of the Holy Spirit, we'll run through the list today quickly, which of these fruits do I need to work on? And that could be your goal for Advent. Because typically for Advent, we don't normally have goals like we do for Lent. We give up something for Lent, but we don't have a tendency to do that much for Advent. But it is a time of preparation. I know, like typically we've got a lot of stuff going on this year. We're going to have less. It's a lot. The world is in a different place. This is going to be a different Christmas. I don't know how else to say that. But so we're going to have less, parties to go to, less preparation maybe, and more time to focus on the spiritual reality of the Advent season, getting ready to grow closer to Jesus. So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit try to tie all this up, and we'll see how it all works out on the show. But nonetheless, I'm glad to have you here. I hope you got a chance to catch me on the Sunrise Morning Show today on EWTN Radio. I talked about the fruit of self-control. We've been going through a list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the series is based on my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. And each week, Matt Swaim and I have been looking at one of the fruits, and we ended the segment of the series this week by looking at the fruit of self-control. And really, when it comes right down to it, in order for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, it requires self-control. I have to control my desire to override the Holy Spirit. I've got to step back and surrender control of my life to the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean I don't have a say. That means that I don't necessarily do everything that I want to do and act in every way that I want to act, especially when the Holy Spirit's expecting me to act in a different way. And that requires self-control. Amazingly, though, self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So even though we're required to back off and let the Spirit work, the Holy Spirit even helps us with that. I mean, you talk about giving us help. So we're very fortunate with all the help that the Holy Spirit does give to us. So let's talk about the fact that God has a plan for our lives. He wants us to do something. We'll look at the fruits of the Spirit, and we'll try to assess where we stand, and then use that as the foundation for the Advent season, right? It sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? It makes sense. And that way we have a plan going into Advent. So with that in mind, let's pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven. I'm going to need plenty of guidance today with this show. I always need guidance, but even more so today. I'm going to pray not only that I know the words to use and the message to deliver, but that all of our minds and our hearts will be open to hearing what the Lord has for us. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us to this moment in time. Father, you have provided for our needs from the time when we were first conceived up until the present time. The fact that we are alive just shows how much you care for us and that you provide for our needs, because otherwise we would not be alive. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for not only providing for us, we thank you for being here with us now. We thank you for listening to our prayers. We thank you for responding, because we know that you always hear us when we pray, and we know that you always do respond at the best time, in the best way possible, to our prayers. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to redeem us, to suffer and die on the cross, and to rise from the dead, so that the gates of heaven could be open once again, and we could be able to live there when our life on earth is over. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all of the blessings that you've given us today. And I would just say, any little thing that we enjoyed this day, including the air that we breathe, electricity, hot water, I mean, whatever, we could all find something material, as well as the spiritual things we just mentioned, to be grateful for, Father. So, Father, we are grateful for many, many things that you've given us today. And I ask you to pour out your Spirit on us, a brand new outpouring of your Spirit. Guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And specifically, guide me today as I prepare to deliver your message. Give me the words. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. And please open all of our hearts and our minds so that we can be receptive to your message. Father in heaven, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thank you for praying with me. You know, I've told you before, I'm going to say it again. It means a lot when we can get together and hang out here for 30 minutes each day. Please do me a favor, if you would, share with your friends the news about this program. Let people know that this podcast exists, because you might be able to help somebody. My goal is to bring hope and bring comfort by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm here to do. And if you know, you don't have to have your own podcast to do that. If you just recommend it to somebody else, you might really be able to help them. So I would really appreciate that. And whoever it is that you share it with might appreciate it as well. If you are a new listener, I want to welcome you. And for more information about my work or to sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to sign up for the email devotional, all you need to do is supply your email address. It doesn't cost you anything. And if at any point you decide you want to unsubscribe, you can do that as well. I got a lot of new subscribers today, so if you're listening and you are one of them, I'm really thankful. I do appreciate that. Again, followingthetruth.com is my website. So this gospel from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 28, this is a tough one, you know. But again, I really feel it depends how you look at this. I look at this as a call to action. Look, if time is short, I want to know that. And it really is for all of us. We don't know when Jesus will come again in glory, but we can get a good idea of the maximum amount of years that we have on this earth. It doesn't mean we won't die tomorrow or today. We don't know that. But if I'm 60 or 70, I have a rough idea of the maximum amount of years I have left. And for all of us, I don't care if you're 20. I don't care if you're 80. For all of us, it's a relatively short period of time when you compare it to eternity. It's still a relatively short period of time. So we need to get busy. We don't have time to waste. That's the message Jesus is trying to tell us here. Here it is from Luke's gospel. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself, and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, engage in trade with these until I return. So we have the nobleman calling 10 of his servants, giving them some coins and saying, engage in trade, invest them, if you will, until I return. Simple story, right? His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. So he gave them the coins. And again, this is a retelling of the parable of the talents from Matthew's gospel that we heard over the weekend at Sunday's Mass. And he wants to find out what they gained by trading their coins, because that's what he told them to do. In other words, invest them. I want to see some interest. That's what this guy's looking for. The first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came and reported, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. To this servant, too, he said, you take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant came and said, sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you. Because you are a demanding man, you take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant. He said to him, with your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down, and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return, I would have collected it with interest. And to those standing by, he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as far as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. Now, the first thing you're probably saying is, wow, that's nasty. I like the other version of this story better. Obviously, I've said this before, but it bears repeating, that when Jesus would tell some of these parables, and again, you've got Mark's interpretation, Luke's interpretation, they could have been told twice, some of these stories to different audiences. I don't always know. But what we do, one thing we see for sure when we look at these parables as told by Jesus, he wants to get the attention of his listeners. And a lot of times, he uses extreme examples in order to do that. Because otherwise, if he just talked in very safe language, then in the language that doesn't offend anybody, that is sort of bland, nobody's going to listen to him. But he uses these striking examples because he wants to get the attention of his listeners. Now, also, when we look at these parables, we're reading them 2,000 plus years after they were originally told. So there's going to be some cultural differences and translation issues, translation being translated into English. You remember, Jesus is speaking Aramaic, which is a spoken form of Hebrew. And there's things that we're just not going to be able to relate to. So you have to take that all into account when you look at some of these stories. And try, this is at least what I do, try to go for the big picture. And really what he's saying is that each of us have been given resources. We've been given gifts. We've been given money. We've been given positions. You know, we've been put in a specific family. We're in a certain workplace. We live in a certain city, certain region of the world. We have each been given specific tools to be able to be used for good. Every one of us has something. And each day that God gives us provides a new opportunity to use those tools to spread the good news, to advance the kingdom, to do something for God and for other people. Every one of those days, that's why we're here. You know, heaven is a different story. Heaven is a time for us to enjoy our reward. You don't have to evangelize in heaven because everything is clear to everybody. Faith is not needed in heaven because you can see. But right now, there are people who are really hurting. You know, I've been reading stories about the pandemic and the effect that it's having on mental health. People are hurting right now. You may be hurting. I have good days and bad days. You know, this is hard. And then when you throw into the mix all of our unique issues and problems, it's a very difficult time for many people right now. But God is depending on us, you and me, to use what we have and to the best of our ability to go out and really be Jesus to those around us. I mean, that's what we're called to do. And we're given the Holy Spirit to help us. So when we look at this story or this parable, especially at the end of the church year, heading into Advent, a time to do something. We don't necessarily look at Advent as a time to prepare and to actively do something, but it is. You know, if you're going to have company staying at your house, what do? You prepare, you clean. If they're going to be staying in a guest room, you clean out the junk. And that's what Advent is all about. We're going to be welcoming Jesus. So the good thing about Advent, just like Lent, it's got a starting point and an end point. And that's a good thing, because otherwise we tend to put things off. You know, I'll start preparing to welcome Jesus. You know, it's not the right time. In the future, I'll do it. Well, no, we know that next Sunday, Advent begins, and that's the day we start. We start preparing that day, and we know December the 25th, that's our end point. That doesn't mean you go back to doing whatever you want after Christmas, but hopefully we would have grown, and our relationship with Jesus will improve during those weeks of Advent. That's the goal. And then you don't backslide. You move forward from there. And then we're in Lent, and we'll go through that whole that thing as well. But that's so with that in mind, the first thing that I think we need to do especially as we close out the one church year, the church year, and then begin the church year anew with the Advent season, is to take inventory, to do an examination of conscience. And the thought came to me the other day when I was thinking about what I'm going to be talking about on Relevant Radio on Friday. The thought came to me, I just wrote a book about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and these fruits of the Holy Spirit should be produced in us. This is the kind of fruit that we should bear in our lives if we're truly letting the Holy Spirit work in us. And when you look at the list, we're all going to recognize a problem area, an area where we say, no, my life is not bearing this kind of fruit. Ultimately, the ultimate example of someone who is producing all of these good fruits is Jesus. But we have the Holy Spirit in us, and the job of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into Jesus. We're never going to get there all the way, but we can improve. This is something that through the Holy Spirit's working in us and our cooperation with the Spirit, we can improve in these areas. So let's look at this list. This list comes from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where he lists the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, my book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, goes into more detail. It has a chapter on each of the fruits, but I'll just go through them briefly. But I say, let's look at this, use it as a checklist, an examination of conscience, an examination of our life, and see if our lives are bearing these fruits. Ready? Now, just don't panic. It's not going to be the most fun exercise in the world, but it's a good thing to learn. Because again, these talents we've been given, these gifts, these coins, whatever you want to call it, God has given us resources. And he expects us to use what he's given us. And it's not all just money. It's gifts, it's opportunities, it's talents. What are we doing for God? Let's look at these fruits of the Holy Spirit. The first one is love. What is love? Love is to will the good of another. Love is not a feeling, it's a decision. Am I loving those around me as Jesus loves? Am I calling people who I disagree with on Facebook? Am I calling them names? I just saw this today. I just have to shake my head. Somebody who is very much involved in evangelization, very much involved in sharing the gospel, somebody with seemingly a strong faith, he called somebody a name on Facebook. I just can't believe it. It's somebody he disagrees with politically, but it was a nasty name. And I'm thinking, whoa, we have to be careful. That's not love. That's not love. So, I am very aware of times when I don't love like I'm supposed to love. And again, it's not a feeling. It's an action. It's a decision. Sometimes I don't treat my wife and my kids the way I should. Sometimes I'm not as nice to others as I should. The Spirit wants to help me, but I got to do my share too. So, the first of the fruits is love. Are you loving? Being kind to, or are you being, kindness is another fruit, so I don't want to go into that now, but are you loving other people the way you should? Joy. Are you joyful? Are you choosing to rejoice because of God's presence in you? Really, that's the reason why we rejoice. It's not because things are going our way. Are you joyful? And that's a form of sharing Jesus. Are you joyful? Are you peaceful? Are you making peace, or are you stirring up trouble? Are you looking to bring peace to social media, to your workplace, to your home? Or are you just stirring the pot? Are you patient? Are you willing to put up with the imperfections of others? Are you patient with yourself? You know, a lot of times once we decide we're going to get better, we're going to be a better Christian, we get mad at ourselves because we're not making enough progress. We're not even patient with ourselves. Are you patient with God? You get frustrated when you've been praying for a long time and you're not seeing the answer you want. Do you stop praying because you're mad at him? Are you patient? Are you kind? What's kindness? Kindness is mercy in action. And this flows from love. Am I doing kind things for other people? Or am I yelling at them? Goodness. It's godlike behavior, righteous behavior. Am I behaving in a way that would please God always? And you know, that can be a tough one. That can be tougher than you think. And this is just not just big things. This is little things too. Am I faithful? Do I keep my promises? Do I pray every day? Do I read my Bible? Am I faithful? Am I good for my word? Not just with God, but with other people. If I say I'm going to help somebody out, do I do it? Or at the last minute, do I bail on them? Gentleness, power under control. This is a tough one. Just because I'm right, or just because I'm trying to teach somebody about a biblical concept or something the church teaches, am I doing it in a gentle way, or am I yelling? Am I screaming? Am I being forceful? And finally, the final fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Am I letting the Holy Spirit work? Am I controlling my passions? Now, you might want, and we'll probably talk about this again before Advent starts, because I think this is an important thing for us to learn. One of those, I would say, pick one of those fruits in your life that you need to work on and make that your goal during the Advent season. I'm going to improve in this one particular area. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work in this one area and help me to become better in one of those, in producing one of those fruits. Okay, so that's all I got today. I've got to run. Something to think about. You know, Advent's coming. Just start to get ready to get ready. And we will talk more about it. We'll be talking through the Advent season as well. Have a wonderful night. Thank you for listening. God bless you. I'm praying for you. And I look forward to, God willing, being back with you tomorrow. See ya.